Turn to Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Appreciate Kay sharing about Wednesday, because we had a, by the way, I have two Bibles here. I don't know where the other one came from. But we had a really wonderful time Wednesday starting our study on Wednesday night with real discussion and Q&A and all of those wonderful things that make Bible study the best that it can possibly be. But you know that the Lord has just put that together for us to meet on Wednesday nights doing that Bible study. And we've taken our study in the book of Romans and moved it to that so that we can have that discussion format, Q&A with that book. But then I was like, okay, Lord, what about Sunday morning now? If we're not doing the study on Sunday morning. And I didn't think about it right away. It took me maybe 3 or 4 days that I remembered that for the last, when was the time that Stephanie and Eloy were here? We had their big worship weekend. Maybe a year and a half ago. I don't remember exactly when that was. But ever since then, God's just been filling me with this book of Revelation. And I've thought, Lord, okay, when are we going to teach Revelation? Romans is going to take a while. I don't know if we have to wait till Romans is over. You're getting where I'm going, aren't you? And so when we move Romans there, all of a sudden it occurred to me about 4 days after we moved that over to Wednesday, I thought, oh, now we have opportunity to do Revelation on Sunday morning. My daughter Noelle said to me a few months ago, we need to do Revelation. I said, I've got it in me. I just don't know when it is. Well, guess what? It begins this morning. We're gonna begin to get in to the book of Revelation. So you notice this, Romans and Revelation. What's common about those two words? What? R. Well, Jesus, yes. Amen. But they both start with a letter R. So we're going to get some R&R at Embassy Church. Okay? If you're looking for some R&R, you know, we call R&R rest and relaxation. We're going to get it at Embassy Church. Revelation, Romans and Revelation is going to be our R&R at Embassy Church. So Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant, John. Revelation 1:1. God reveals himself. God reveals his plans. God revealed this morning that we needed to pray for those in crisis. And not just have a pastoral prayer, but a whole body prayer, a season of prayer, going to prayer for people in crisis. And I knew that already. And then when I got the text message, I was like, okay, this is what the Lord is saying. Gary knew that he needed to share what had taken place in his heart as a way for him to be prayed for, but also for all of us to be prayed for in the same thing. The last week, we had some revelation where before I got up to speak, Sandra Basu was here, and she ministered to us, and it was exactly the message. Without her knowing what I was speaking on, what she said, you remember that hope? God's trying to place my hope back in him and not in other things, and I'm listening to that saying, that's what I'm going to preach on. You remember the week before that Jason shared, Jason Hershey, and that when he was sharing, there were people that were listening saying, that's exactly what God told me to do this week. And it was unusual. It wasn't like God told somebody to brush their teeth and he came up here and said, we need to brush our teeth. It was something very unusual. It was walk around a place 7 times like they did around Jericho. And there were people in our body who said that week the Lord told them to walk 7 times around places. One was around a neighborhood. One was around a house. The other one was around the National Cathedral. Isn't that amazing? And they did that. They walked around 7 times. And there were other people that were saying, you know what? The Lord spoke to me about what I need to do next week. See, this is revelation. This is revelation. And so when we look at the book of Revelation, we know from the very title of the book, it's talking about something that is being revealed, and obviously when God reveals things, those things are really important. Now, can we dialogue just for a moment? How does God reveal himself? God's invisible. So how does God reveal himself? How does God make us know that he exists? that he is God. Name some ways that God reveals himself. Name it out loud. Through his word. What's the word? The word of God, a.k.a. the Bible. Amen. All right, so through his word. How else does God reveal himself? In our hearts. The heart change. You know, my friend says, you know it's God speaking when it's so loud, and it's very soft, but it's so loud that you know that it's not your voice, that it's actually God speaking to you, okay? So loud you can't ignore it, but you recognize that it's not yours. That's God speaking, and God does that in our hearts, amen? So the changing the heart, that message to our heart. All right, so what do we have so far? The word, heart, how else does God reveal himself? Through what? Creation. Can we put the next slide up? Right there. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies show forth. Speak day after day. Speech all over the earth. God is making himself known. Romans chapter 1 says that God has revealed himself through the things that he has made. Amen? The divine nature of God is made known. So even if you don't have the Bible, even if you don't have these other revelations, just through creation itself. I was talking with a friend yesterday, and that friend was telling me that you can just know that there's a God by intelligence of humanity. You see that there's intelligence. Intelligence begets intelligence. Now, if anybody said that's here, can you raise your hand? If you told me that yesterday, raise your hand. Oh, you are Freddie. It was Freddie that told me that. If you don't know Freddie, that's Freddie right there. When he said that, I said, Freddie, I'm going to quote you. And here I am quoting him right now. He said, intelligence begets intelligence. You know there's a God. You know there's a a watchmaker when you see a watch, right? And when we see all of creation, we know that there's a God. So through creation. How else? How else do we know? I heard circumstances. How God aligns things. Do you ever feel like it's like a chess match and you're watching the board be moved and you be moved into places where you look and say, wow, God is at work here. Those are things that take place. We look and say, you know what? I wasn't even going to get that job, and through circumstances, I wound up with a dream job. I didn't even know that person was going to become my best friend or my wife or whatever, but all of a sudden, circumstances led me to that. Isn't God revealing himself all the time? Amen? I heard another one that you said. Did you say another one? Prophecy? Was that you? Prophecy. All kinds of ways. And revelation would come in that category. Did I miss anybody? Did I miss anyone? The same verse, same Psalm 19 that says that God reveals himself through creation, all of a sudden begins to talk about the word of God, how it's pure, how it's simple, how it's more precious than rubies and gems and all of that. And so we know that God reveals himself through these things. But I think the ultimate revelation of God that we have, I also heard it said, and it's Jesus. Now, what I'm saying about that, it's not saying that the other things are not a revelation of God. I'm just saying that in Jesus, we see the fullness of God. Amen? We see the full picture in Jesus. John chapter 1, let's go to the next slide. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you're new to the Bible, you will know as you read John chapter 1, that the word that is spoken of here is introduced to us as Jesus, or his Hebrew name, Yeshua, which means the Lord saves. So in his very name, he is the Savior. Amen? And his ministry is saving us from our sins, from our selfishness, from our suffering. All of those things Jesus is doing continually. So God is revealing himself ultimately through his son, Jesus, who is introduced to us here in John chapter 1, verse 1, as the Word. Now, truth is powerful, but it needs to be conveyed. And it needs to be conveyed in a way that people have understanding. John was the last gospel of the four that were written. It was the last written. And it was written in a place where it wasn't just to mostly a Jewish audience, but to mostly a Greek audience or a Greek-influenced. Hellenized is what it's called. Those people who had become Greek in their thought processes, they had been exposed to Aristotle and Socrates and all the rest, and they thought in these kind of concepts, dualism and all of these things. They had this kind of mentality. And one of the most valuable words in the Greek language is the word, word. Word up. It's fresh, all right? All of a sudden, pastor's becoming dope up here in the pulpit, right? But we get this thing. We have it. Word, 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 dude. Word, word. Well, guess what? Before we got hip with that, the Greeks were hip with it. They were going, word up. Hey, word, dude. You know, they were, but not really. They weren't really. But they focus on this word because here was what they understood about this word, word. It was taking what is real and expressing it in a way that could be grasped and understood. So when it talks about Jesus as the Word, it's saying that God is taking himself, who is inexpressible, who is invisible, who is so far above us, he is essentially unknown to us, and expressing himself in a way that he could be fully understood. That's revelation. The ultimate revelation is not creation or prophecy or in our hearts. The ultimate revelation is not even the Bible. The ultimate revelation is Jesus. Now, let me make sure I'm careful with that. Because what we have in the Bible, are, if you look at it physically, you look at it as print on a paper, okay? And there are sometimes that people wonder, like, why don't you, you know, have your Bible covered? Why do you mark it? Why do you... you know, have to buy a new one because it's not the print in the paper that's special. It's the expression of Jesus that comes through. It's the reality of God that comes through in that scripture. And so that's what makes it's not the actual paper and pen or paper or the scroll or whatever it's written on. It's the actual expression of God. And so when we look at the Bible, it's not just a religious thing. It is a relationship with God through his son Jesus. So what we have here in the book of Revelation, if we know that the name is called Revelation, and we know that God reveals himself in certain ways, and we know that the ultimate revelation is the revelation of Jesus, that's the ultimate way that God expresses himself to us, then go to the next slide. Then we have to ask this question, what is the book of Revelation a revelation of? Now, you might say, well, isn't that obvious? I don't think it is. From my own experience and talking with other people, I think that there's confusion about the book of Revelation. I think that people look at the book of Revelation and they see things like trumpets and scrolls and bowls, and plagues and calamities and destruction and judgments and all of these things. And in a way, it's almost like the ultimate sci-fi movie, all right? It's like the ultimate sci-fi. You have these creatures, and they have many eyes and wings, and they have all of these. It's like forget George Lucas and Star Wars and that whole, you know, series or the trilogy that we got so into. What was it with, that one too. It's like the ultimate sci-fi movie when you read through the book of Revelation. So we might look at it and say, okay, this is the revelation of the end times. This is the revelation of angels that and beings and creatures and judgments and all of those things. And I think if we focus only on those things, I'm getting confused because I got too many Bibles up here. I keep looking at one and it's in Philippians and the other one in Revelation. So, but if you look at and you ask the question, what is this the revelation of? What does the revelation reveal? It's the revelation of what? And you got the answer there. You know where you found the answer? Right here in the book. We don't need to make up the Bible for ourselves. It's there for us, amen? In verse 1, it tells us what this is the revelation of. Go to the next slide, if you would. It's the revelation of... Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. What's revealed in this book? Jesus. What does Christ mean? the Messiah. Never forget that Christ is not Jesus' last name. There's a meaning to it. It's a title. It's saying that Jesus is the Messiah. We owe everything that we have to the Jewish people. Everything. I don't know if you like Jewish people or you don't like Jewish people. You like these Jewish people and not like these Jewish people. We need to make sure that God eradicates any anti-Semitism out of our hearts, because the reality is everything that we have has been given to us through the Jewish people. Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Yeshua. All the apostles, Jewish, okay? So we're going to pray and say, thank you, Lord, for freeing me from the anti-Semitism that the devil brings into this world. Amen? Amen? But the reality is, he is the Messiah. He is the long-awaited Messiah of Israel. God revealed it through centuries. He was bringing Jesus on the scene. He pointed to Jesus even before Jesus had arrived. He did it by giving us the Passover lamb, that perfect lamb who would take away or at least hold back sins on an annual basis and cover the people. He did it through the sacrifice that Abraham was going to do of his son Isaac on the altar. All of those things were pointing forward to Jesus, the Messiah. And guess what? Jesus came to this earth. Amen? The Messiah came. And so when we look at Christ, always remember we're saying Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, and he's revealed. And so what is the book of Revelation about? Everyone all at once, what is the book of Revelation a revelation of? Everyone say it out loud. Woo! That's what it's about. If you get lost in bowls and trumpets and all of these things, you miss the main point. The revelation that we're talking about here is the revelation of Jesus. And how many of us need the revelation of Jesus? By the way, how many revelations are there in the book of Revelation? One. I get such a kick out of people when they first pick up the Bible and some of the cute things they say. You know how kids say, there was even a show that said kids say the darndest things. It was a whole TV show, right? Because aren't kids cute? They don't know what things are, so they say really cute things about everything. Everything they say is really cute. My daughter who's sitting right here right now, and by the way, she might want to share some news with you at some point. Does she want to share that? Would I embarrass her to do it now? Come here, girl. Come here, come here. Come here. Just stand. Show that right there. Noelle got engaged this last week. Was it, they led worship last week? Yeah. So you remember that wonderful young man that stood right here leading worship that you just met a few months ago? Ikaika is his name. Kaika for short. He's a true Hawaiian. And they met in Hawaii, and they're going to be married on March 8th, I believe. So we're like, wow, okay, here we go, another daughter already getting married. But I got to tell you a cute story about Noelle. We were driving down the road. She was real young, and she was with her sisters. We're driving to school, and I saw a hearse go by. And when the hearse went by, I realized my kids don't know what that is. So I said to them, hey, kids, do you know what that car is that we're driving beside there? Noelle spoke up and said, yes, I know. And I said, okay, Noelle, what is it? I don't remember how old she was. She was real young, maybe kindergarten or first grade. I don't know what she was. She goes, I know what it is. I said, okay, Noelle, what is it? She said, it's a camper. Did you get that? Camper. You know what a camper is? It's what you go camping in. So I busted out laughing. I thought that was the funniest thing in the world. We saw hers. I asked her what it was. She said a camper. And I said, yeah, it's going on the final camping trip, you know. But it was kind of a funny moment. But it was one of those things where kids say the cutest things. I like this with people who are new to the Bible. I remember this guy came to Christ in Princeton, New Jersey. And when he came to Christ, very, very knowledgeable man, but he was all excited about the Bible. And he came in one day and he says, I found a book in the Bible that's amazing. It's called Job. I laughed hysterically because we know it as Job, right? But it's written like Job, so why not call it Job? Well, I also get a kick when I hear people say it's the book of Revelations. How many of you call it Revelations? Just be honest, okay? It's a very common thing. We call it Revelations. But don't make a big thing out of it. Don't embarrass anybody. Don't point it out if they get it wrong. But just remember this for this moment and then forget it. As far as telling anybody else about it, we know from verse 1, there's not revelations here that are spoken of. There's the revelation. Singular, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you say, well, what about all the other things that are revealed? Well, that's taking place in the next part. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant the things, plural, that must soon take place. So there's many ancillary or secondary revelations in the book of Revelation, but what this book is about is one revelation, and it's the revelation of Jesus the Messiah. Can you say amen? Jesus, only Jesus. But let me get you this to make sure you understand it. It's Jesus in this context. It's the revelation of Jesus in the end times. It's the revelation of Jesus at the end of it all. Why do we need a revelation of Jesus at the end of it all? Because it's at the end of it all that it gets the toughest. Sometimes it's at the end of life that things get the toughest. Sometimes it's at the end of waiting for that promise that things get the toughest. Sometimes it's at the end of our emotional strength or our physical strength that things get the toughest. And what we have here is Jesus being revealed in the end. And we have a revelation of Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega. That means the A and the Z. He's not just the beginning of the alphabet. He's the end of the alphabet. He's not just the beginning word or the sustaining word. He's the final word. He's the one who has the last say. And it's important for us to know that in life, because there are times in life where we feel like we're being controlled by people who are having something to say about us, something that defines our lives. We feel like some people have given the final word on our life, whether it's something physical and it's a doctor's report, or it's something economic and we feel like there's no future for me. I can't make it through this problem. I'm too far back in my mortgage payments or my rent payments. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And there are times that we feel like we're defined. Often we feel like we're defined by government. Government. So big, so powerful. The boss at the work, the economy, all of these things. We feel defined by these. We do feel defined by Wall Street and the ups and the downs, the bulls and the bears and all of these things. We feel like this is the final word for us. And the book of Revelation is saying to us, no, don't be deceived. Don't think erroneously. It's important for you to know that it's Jesus who has the final word. Jesus has the final word. Now, I want you to bring this into the context. You say, well, I got problems, and I don't know if Jesus can have the final word. Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, you don't have problems like these people who had this word given to them. The greatest way to understand the Bible is not to say, what does this mean to me? The greatest way to understand the Bible is to say, what did it mean to the people who are hearing it for the first time? There's a verse in the Bible that says, go into this land, kill everybody, exterminate them. If you think the best way for you to understand the Bible is to say, what does this mean to me? You're going to become a mass murderer, okay? You can't take the Bible and understand it according to just your circumstance. These things were written in a time and place that might be unlike yours. They might be written in a different circumstance, under a different dispensation, for different reasons. And you can't take all of the book and immediately apply it to your life until you first understand how it applied to the people who were written to in the first place. You can't just open the book and say it's good for people not to marry, and then you go, okay, I'm not going to get married. It's very likely not God's will, because it's usually the exception of the rule rather than the rule. And so you can't just take every verse and apply it to your life. You've got to understand what it meant to them. And so what did Revelation mean to the people who first heard it? The people that John wrote to, the people to whom he was given the revelation for, those seven churches of Asia, what were they going through? I don't know if you ever heard of Nero. I don't know if you ever heard of Domitian. I don't know if you ever heard of catacombs. I don't know if you ever heard about the people who were thrown to lions in a theater. It was entertainment for people to be killed for sport. This was the nature of this government. This was the nature of these powerful people who seemed to be in control of the world at that time. And somehow, some way, the Christians became their main target. Numerous times. At times there were peace, but then another emperor would come in and would do the most horrific things to these people. Would not just confiscate their property and make things hard for them economically, but would set them up on the roads and pour oil over them and light them on fire so that people who were driving their chariots by in the nighttime could see where they were going. They became the human torches. They became the sport for the Roman people. These were the believers. When you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, when you read these other accounts of these people, if you have a chance to go to Italy and go down and see where Paul was in a dungeon, if you can go down and see those catacombs where people just like you, just like me, just for their faith in the Lord Jesus, were treated this way. They needed a revelation of Jesus at this time. It seemed like everything else had the word for them. Everything else was in control. And God knew their plight. God knew their suffering. And he said, I'm going to come to John. When John himself is exiled on the Isle of Patmos, after he had been boiled alive in a vat of oil that had fire underneath it. Somehow, some way, he survived that. I don't know if they just brought him out at the last minute, but he survived it. And then they exiled him to this Patmos. And he was all by himself there. And if you read the rest of the chapter, you see that he says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Here he was suffering. He knew all the other people that were on his heart who were suffering. And he still was able to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. The Lord's Day became Sunday, the day of his resurrection, the day of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And he says, on the Lord's Day, I was in the Holy Spirit. And God gave me a beautiful revelation. And he told me, give it to the people. Give it to the churches. Give it to those who are going through these hardships and all of this suffering. Because it's at this moment that they need a revelation. They need to know that no matter what the emperor is saying, Jesus is always going to have the final word. Come on, people. Can you say amen? He's always going to have the most powerful word. What kind of God are we talking about? Who created that earth that we saw on the slide a moment ago with all those stars around it? And he did it simply through his word. And yet when the suffering comes and we're exiled or we're going through these things, these people back then had all of your personal problems and all of my personal problems. They were normal human beings. But compounded that, they had all of this other persecution. All of this other suffering that they had to go through. And it was at that moment that they needed to hear again that God had the final word, that his word was the most powerful word, that it was the word of God, not of Domitius or Nero, that not only told who was going to live or who was going to die, but was going to create the universe, speak light into existence. This is the God that we're talking about. Can you say amen? And when we get into this book called Revelation, we will receive revelation. And we will receive revelation of Jesus. We will get to know him through this book as the powerful word of God, as the final word, as not only the Alpha, but the Omega. As Jesus, not just in the past, not only in the present, but in the future. Jesus as the end of the story. We will get to know Jesus as the only one in heaven and earth who is found worthy, as the only lamb who takes away the sins of the earth, as the only lion of the tribe of Judah, as the only bright and morning star. We will get to know him in this study as Jesus for who Jesus is, the only one worthy to judge the earth, to have the final word, to put everyone back in their place where they need to be, to say, you know what, I'm going to lift up the lost, I'm going to lift up the downtrodden, and I'm going to cast down the proud and the arrogant ones who think that they're in control. This is Jesus revealed to us as the Word of God and as the final word. Can you say amen? Wow. Now we know more what the scriptures mean, don't we? When you ask, what did it mean to them? They received this revelation because of their suffering. They needed to know, and you need to know today, that their suffering would end. And you need to know today that your suffering will end. And it will end well. Because Jesus is going to have the final word. I've had my share of suffering in this life. And sadly to say, it's been mostly from believers in Jesus. But it ended. It ended. I thought that people defined bosses, defined where I could go, where I couldn't go, what I do, all those things. Suffering from friends who I've believed in and betrayed, walked away, whatever, all those things. And I wonder how's this gonna define me? How's this gonna end? I've had suffering in my family, even in my own marriage, suffering with my kids. But guess what? Thank God Jesus had the final word. Thank God that it's ending well. Amen. He put an end to all of that. And what I have to face in the future, Jesus is going to have the final word. He's going to put an end to it. It's not going to last. It's not going to define me. It's not going to define you. Whatever you're going through right now, it doesn't have to define you. If you have a revelation of Jesus, then you've got the revelation of the end and the ending well of whatever is going on in your life. Are you encouraged this morning? Do you think that God is speaking to us through what happened earlier in the service and what happened over the last few weeks? Because of our suffering and all those things. Now, let me just say this. I want to speak to us before I'm done by saying this. Things are going really bad in this country. Really badly. I went to Zimbabwe, Africa. In the fall, Zimbabwe has a decimated economy. They stopped counting their inflation rate. It went into the millions percentile, and they just chucked it all. And I expected to go to that country and be afraid. I was less afraid in Zimbabwe, Africa, than I am walking on the streets of the capital city of the United States of America. The police don't wear guns there. They don't even carry guns. I saw police bring, I don't know how much money it was. They use the American currency now, dollars. And I'm telling you what, they're the oldest dollars I've ever seen in my life. These dollars are older than Methuselah. These are really old, tattered dollars. They just use whatever they can get their hands on. And I watched them bring in, I don't know, it must have been tens of thousands of dollars. There's so many stacks of money that they brought in, and they didn't even have guns. They walked into the bank, and as a true American, I thought to myself, you know, Constantine, I was with my friend, Dr. Marifu, and I said, you know what, Constantine, I think you and I could take these guards, and we could take that money and go back and pay every bill back at the Bible college there. And I thought, that's the way an American thinks, I guess. No, that's the way a sinner thinks. How many of you are happy to know that I'm a sinner and I have thoughts like that, okay? Aren't you glad to know that, all right? Because we need Jesus, amen? I thought, man, we could take that money. I could take these guys. We could take them. We could grab that money and leave, you know? And don't you think we all need Jesus, amen? And so I thought, you know what? I'm in this other country. Their economy was decimated, but I feel more secure here. Their money's more secure here. I said to Constantine and his family members and friends, I said, what's going on here? He said, we mostly don't have violent crime here. I grew up in this country. I love this country. I love the heritage of this country. This country has been a blessing to people all over the world. We've given blood to stop tyrants in Europe that we're trying to take over the whole world. I love this country. I love the fact that we historically have sent more missionaries to the world than just about any country in America in world history. That's changing, by the way. They're already China is catching up to us, and they're going to surpass us. China for missionaries. Isn't that awesome what God does? But I love this country. But I'm going to get real about it. This is a scary place. Every time that we hear these mass shooting stories. Have you put them all together? The devil is coming to where we live. He's coming not just against our military that are out there in the fields of battle. He's coming to our skyscrapers. He's coming into our workplaces. He's coming into military bases where we think that we're secure. He's coming in to our schools. He's coming into our elementary schools. He's coming into our theaters. Folks, this is what's happening in this country. The enemy is bringing a flood of evil, and we have a lot of it. We have to take responsibility for. And it's not gun control, people. It's what's in the heart. I don't care what your position is on gun control. If that's our only focus, this is what's in the human heart. If you think that that's the problem is that people are getting angry and don't know how to deal with it. They're taking away. We had guns before. I'm not trying to make a political persuasion out of this. I know that it's a sensitive topic. I'm just saying that if you're only focused on political, you don't realize the spiritual turmoil that's going on in this country that's trying to take people's lives. We got fatherlessness. It's an epidemic in this country. We don't have people that are being protected and guarded. You look at every shooter that is out there and look back in their history and you see where they were damaged by a father or by an absent father, or that you see how they were damaged by some type of thing that was going on in their culture. The enemy is planting these seeds of hatred that are there and then putting guns in their hands so that they can go out and do mass mayhem. And it's coming to every place. If you didn't believe that, then look what happened in Amish country with kids of pacifists who are pacifists. They don't believe in guns. They don't believe in even the police station down the road. They don't believe in any of those things. And yet a gunman comes in and takes their lives away one by one. If you don't realize the world in which we're living, and you need to wake up and see it for what it is. Because here's the deal. If there's ever been a time that we need a revelation of Jesus in the United States of America, it's right here, right now. We need a revelation of Jesus in this country. So desperate do we need a revelation. But I'm going to tell you this. As believers in the Lord Jesus, you're going to need it more than the average person. Because guess what? This hatred against people just indiscriminately is more and more being focused on those who stand for the Word of God, who stand for the truth that Jesus is the only answer. There are people that are desperate looking for peace. So they're saying, you know what? We need to all come together. What if they're singing songs since the 60s? What if there's no religion? What if there's none of this and none of that? Guess what? The Bible says that those things will be here till Jesus comes, that the only hope is Jesus. That's why we need this revelation of Jesus, not just to share with others, but in our lives when the heat gets there, not just your finances and your health, but persecution comes your way, fear comes your way. You don't know if you can get on the subway anymore in Washington, D.C., because you wonder if somebody's going to be planting some type of toxic fumes there or some type of dirty bomb or whatever it is. All I'm saying to you is that when God saw the people suffering back then, He gave them a revelation, and it was only one revelation. It was, you know what? Even though the earth be moved and thrown into the sea and the mountains shake and all these things happen, you can still lift up your eyes and be filled with joy and anticipation, because you don't have a revelation of the economy. You don't have a revelation of all these things you look to in this earth, but your hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. You've got your anchor secure in the Lord Jesus. No matter what comes, hell or high water, you've got Jesus, and that's all you need. Can you say amen? Wow. I'm sorry. If any of you say, you know what? The volume's too loud. I'm sorry if you're offended by the volume. Let me say it now quietly for those of you who don't like loud. If you have the revelation of Jesus, you have everything you need. That's it. And you're going to need that more than ever before. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for suffering.